to Mentoring Deep at Gateway Church with Dr. Rob Brewer, a podcast devoted to helping people strengthen artistry in their leadership, their lives, and with the Lord. No matter your current place in life, the expertise of wise mentors can launch you into new heights of personal growth and ingenuity. And now, here's your host, Dr. Rob Brewer.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Mentoring Deep, episode 005. I'm really tired. I just want to confess that right at the beginning of today's episode, I am really, really tired. I feel like I've been going 1,000 miles an hour today. It is late in the afternoon, and I have been in meetings all day long. I mean, like from the beginning of this day until even in this very moment. And I'm just growing weary. But I am glad to be here with you for Mentoring Deep. It is so good to have you with us. Thank you for giving your time. Oh, yeah. So I can tell already, I think I'm going to be a little bit off on this episode. But it's going to be okay because joining me once again is the esteemed Crystal Johnson. Hold on one second, Crystal. There you go. Try it now. Say hello.
Hey,
yes. She's here with us again, Crystal. Oh.
I'm the only one that gets the applause.
You are the only one that gets the applause.
No one else.
You deserve the applause.
Thank you.
They're continuing to go.
I know. It's a standing ovation.
Oh, they're so excited.
Thank you all.
You may be excited. It's so good to have you here. Yeah, you were with me last week when I recorded the episode.
I was.
And I was way off my game last week.
Not really.
No, I was dropping everything.
I hit the
wrong buttons at the wrong time. There's music going off in the middle of the episode. I just completely lost control of everything. And I am so close to being in that same mode today. Yes. I'm exhausted. I'm tired.
You are.
I need a nap.
You've been running really hard.
I have. And you've helped me very well today.
Well, I appreciate that. I've just been working at my desk and you've been at meetings.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So I don't know really what I've helped you with, but.
Well, you just helped me stay organized.
No. No, I'm the most unorganized.
That is not true.
You're nice.
Well, I am, but I'm also speaking the truth. You're incredibly organized,
incredibly gifted
as well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Well, yeah. So here we are. I can't even get it out of my mouth. Here we are at episode 005.
It's five. For some reason, I was thinking it was six.
No. This is episode five.
Okay. It's
five. Now, we had four or five pre-episodes before the very first one. Yeah. Now, we're getting really, really close to like one of the benchmarks in podcasting.
Okay.
And one of the benchmarks of podcasting is episode 7.
Woo!
Did you know that most podcasts don't make it to episode 7?
Oh, we're going to make it.
Are we?
Oh, we're going to make it. Nobody's going to stop us.
Well,
nothing's going to knock us down.
I hope you're right.
Oh, we're
I hope
right.
you're right.
Just go ahead and mark my words.
I mean, half the time, it's just getting the schedule in place to be able to get people out to interview.
But hey, if you don't have anyone to interview, you can just call me in here and I'll help you out.
That's true. So today's a kind of a reset day.
Yeah.
So we began episode 1 with you and I.
Uh-huh.
And we set down the foundation of what Mentoring Deep was going to be,
right.
Laid out the direction that we were headed. And then we interviewed three different pastors. We interviewed Pastor Chad Sykes and Pastor Kerry Wood. And then last week we had Pastor Alan Kelsey.
Man.
Yeah.
That was good.
Wasn't that good?
Woo.
So
I was kind of crying over in the chair over there.
Yeah, I did notice the tears.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't take much to make me cry. You kind of do that on a weekly basis when you yell at me, but...
Okay, that's not true. I don't yell at you.
I'm kidding. Okay.
No, I...
I'm totally kidding. You don't. But it doesn't take much to make me cry because I'm kind of a melty person.
Okay.
But that was good stuff.
Yeah. He did a fantastic job, didn't he?
Yeah. He's
let's,
a great leader.
Let's come back to that in just a second. Okay. What I had intended to do with every fourth episode is just let it be you and I.
Uh-huh.
And just kind of kind of reset, just kind of talk about where we've been and what we've been hearing. And then next week, for episode 6, we'll bring back another pastor at Gateway Church and begin to explore how they lead their areas and how they live their lives and how they love their Lord. So let's step back and just talk for a second about what you heard. You mentioned Pastor Allen from last week. What did you hear from Pastor Allen that was really touching your heart?
Well, I think probably what was really, really the most effective for me was when he was talking about counting the cost.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I actually have been chewing on that since.
How so?
I've been looking at my own life and looked back at the things that I've done for God.
Yeah.
Or so I thought.
Right.
Sometimes things that I said I was doing for God, but really doing for myself, mm-hmm. which, ouch, but mm-hmm. I mean, it's just true.
Mm-hmm.
And actually there was a cost in those things.
Sure.
A huge cost, maybe probably, I mean, you know, massive, but, and then, but the things that I'm doing for God now, and there is a cost
yeah.
in them, but the reward is so beautiful.
Yeah.
And I look at his life and the way he leads us here at Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, his wife works here.
Right.
Her office isn't very far from where we sit.
Right.
From your office and from where I sit. And I look at their relationship, and even though I know there's a great cost that he's away from his family, but I also see such a blessing
yeah.
on the way that they are together.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. So I just walked away so inspired. I also think the man is absolutely crazy for waking up at like 4 o'clock in the morning or whatever time. He told me the other day that the next day starts for him like around 3:15
in the morning.
Yeah. I was like, what?
That's like early.
That's nighttime.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
not morning. That is nighttime.
You suppose the Lord is awake at that hour?
No.
He's
not.
Really?
No. I mean, I'm not gonna speak for God. He can speak for himself, but I am not awake at that time.
I am deeply serving the Lord at 3 a.m.
In your sleep?
I am my sleep. I
yes.
am doing what I am called to do.
Me too.
Which is be in my bed under
asleep.
The covers.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. The only reason I'm waking up is if my really annoying dog is trying to make me get up to go to let her out to the bathroom.
Yeah. We've trained our dogs to make sure that never happens.
Yeah. Well, I have a little puppy for sale. Anybody want it?
Careful, you'll get emails.
but, you know, he was just inspiring me with the way that he was talking about, you know, what is the cost of what I'm doing? And when he said that, you know, he would do it again.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I was really powerful. Touched by Pastor Kerry in episode 3. Mm-hmm. Pastor Kerry has a long, long history in ministry,
yeah.
and he's been a senior pastor in several different places. And, you know, he's had to make some decisions about his life and where he is in ministry today. And,
right.
you know, clearly he's not the senior pastor at Gateway Church, so he's not serving in a senior pastor capacity right now.
Right.
And you know, that can be difficult. For people, they've served at a really high level
right.
in different places, and now a new season has emerged in their life, and they're not serving in that same place. They're the honor that goes with it. You know, after a while, you kind of see yourself in that role and think, well, that's what I do. This is who I am,
mm-hmm.
and I think Pastor Kerry did such an amazing job of conveying his emotions as he has worked through that, as he has addressed some of that perceived lack in his life and how he's going to move forward with that. And he's finding a way for that to make sense in his heart during this season. And I thought that was an incredibly powerful moment. I thought it was a great episode that helped us understand how when a person steps away from ministry, some processes mm-hmm. that are important to re-enter into ministry.
Right.
And I know we have probably a lot of our listeners that have experienced some sort of stepping out of ministry. I stepped out of ministry for a little bit. I went into full-time education for a while, not because of any kind of failure, just because of the season of life that I was in and where
certainly.
I felt like the Lord was taking me. So I stepped out of ministry and it was a jolt for me to get back into ministry. 7 or 8 years ago. So how Pastor Kerry led us through that process, I thought was beautiful. And then Pastor Chad, you know, he is such a smart guy. If you haven't listened to Pastor Chad Sykes in episode 002, such a smart guy, and really laid out a series of books and authors that probably most people wouldn't immediately go to, that I think would be helpful for people if mm-hmm. they're really wanting to deepen the well of their growth. So yeah. All in all, I think our first four episodes, the first one where you and I began,
yeah,
and then the following three episodes where we've interviewed some pastors at Gateway Church,
uh-huh.
I think it's really setting out, I think it's accomplishing the goal that we
Absolutely.
Have for Mentoring Deep.
Yeah. And you know, I'm hearing feedback. Are you?
I am too.
My
yeah.
mom is like crazy about this thing.
Well, moms have to listen to it, right?
Well, she's inviting her friends.
I'm sure my mom is listening to it. Hi, Mom. I love you.
Hi, Mama. Yeah, they are listening. But beyond that, no, our friends are listening. Our families are listening, of course, because they love us. But then we have a lot of people who are interested in what the pastors at Gateway Church have to say.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's not just our families. Laying all, you know, joking aside, it's not just our families. There are people who really need to hear what the Pastor Carries and the Pastor Chads and the Pastor Allens have to say.
And we're trying to go just a little bit deeper with them.
Absolutely.
So that we can get a little bit more of their authentic heart Absolutely. Related to some of these issues.
And I cherish that, you know. And I mean, I work here with Pastor Carey since he's on the Equip team. Mm-hmm. And so I not just listening to what he had to say on the podcast, but watching him walk it out and live it out.
Yeah.
I can say it's absolutely true.
Yeah.
The word you used was beautiful, and that's exactly what I would call it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what I call it.
Well, there goes my email again.
I don't know what's the problem with your email. Can you not turn it off when we're
doing
this?
You know, I'm going to have to figure this out. It's connected to my computer, and my computer keeps going off. So I think I'm going to have to use my iPad for our little intros and outros and things.
That's
and
a good idea.
Take it off of the... You know, we're talking logistics here. Everybody is getting... kind of the raw Mentoring Deep again.
You know, I don't know why we don't pretend we're in a studio.
Yeah.
We're actually in your very awesome office.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, we can act like we're in a studio.
Yeah, no
doubt. I pretend, really what I do is I pretend like you're, you know, like Glenn Beck or someone. And I'm not.
Okay.
I mean, not really Glenn Beck, but, you know, one of those like really cool...
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Well, shows, on,
long way
on
from
the
that.
Radio.
Long way from
you
that.
Know,
All right. So, what are we going to talk about today?
Okay. Well, I thought that would be really cool is if I interviewed you.
Okay.
So, I think that we should start with how do you lead your area?
Okay.
And I know how you lead your area.
Yeah. You experience it every day, don't you?
I experience it every day. Mm-hmm. And I've been experiencing it at different stages of my life because I worked with you when I was a kid. You know, when you were kind of a kid.
You're
too.
Still a kid.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Sort of. I appreciate that.
No, it's
if you're
good.
Saying,
it's
if
good.
You're saying that I look young and I have a...
You're not immature at all.
That I have a youthful spirit.
You do.
Thank you.
You do.
But, you know, so I know I've seen your growth.
Yeah.
And hopefully you've seen mine.
Of course.
So let's talk about how you lead your area.
All right.
So tell me. Tell me about it. And I'm going to confirm or deny.
You're going to confirm or deny. So the question is, how do I lead my area?
How do you lead your area? What makes you who you are in this area of ministry? Talk about that. Talk about your vision for leadership, for the way that you lead us as your team.
Yeah.
How does that work for you?
Well, you know, I try to hire good people. And I think that's an important first quality in leadership, because I want to hire people that are thinkers. Mm-hmm. I would prefer not to have to hold someone's hand in a decision-making process. I would prefer to be more of a counselor. I can make decisions for people, but I would prefer not to do that. Instead, what I aim to do, and I have to be honest, I don't always hit this, but what I aim to do is lay out a vision for where we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that we want to accomplish? At the end of this initiative, this thing, this project, whatever it is that we're headed towards, what do we want it to look like at the end? And then what is so important to me is the input and feedback from the rest of the team. Mm-hmm. That's incredibly important to me. And the reason it's so important to me is because I know that my own life lenses are limited. I see things, but I see things through one perspective, and it's really, really hard to see things through some other perspective. Yeah. But there are some incredible perspectives out there. And if I can find a way to make space for some of those other perspectives to enter into the mix and kind of throw those perspectives into the stew, so we get your perspective and Pastor Carey's perspective and the other members on our team, and kind of throw it into the stew and mix it all up. What's really cool is on the other side, when you start to dish out the stew, you can't really tell what's mine and what's yours and what's someone else's. It's all of us. Mm-hmm. It's all of ours. And sometimes there's this flavor, oh, it's more of this person or it's more of that person. But more often than not, it's all of us together. And I love it when I cannot see where I began and y'all ended.
Right.
Or where y'all began and I ended. Is that the same thing that I just said?
Something like it. But I get it.
You understand
absolutely
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So having everyone's perspective in the mix is important. I also feel like people really begin to own the idea when they contribute to it and they see their own voice coming out in whatever that particular initiative is. So I lead my area. I try to lead my area. Again, I'm not always successful. Sometimes I just get selfish, or sometimes I just see something and I say, this is what we need to do and this is how we're going to do it, because I can't see it any other way, or I'm tired, or, you know, we all have those moments. But more often, I think I am trying to lead our team in a way that allows everyone to contribute their voice and their own personality to our projects.
Yeah, and you know, I like too that you almost require it of us.
I do require it of you.
Uh-huh. And I not in an ugly way or anything like that, but I like the way that you even me, sometimes you'll come out and I'll say, "Hey, did you want it like this?" and you'll say, "I wanted you to decide."
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll think, oh, well, I didn't even realize that that was a project you just wanted me to do on my own. I just wanted you to decide, you know? And so it's so good to have the creativity and the freedom. Whereas, so for me, I came from a place where I had my own assistant.
Yeah.
And then now I'm working as an assistant again. And so if I were just simply working as an assistant, I would probably not be fulfilled completely.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the way you lead, you allow me mm-hmm. to really be creative mm-hmm. and really use all of my gifts.
Yeah. Well, I think I will have a tendency to call out a person if I don't sense that they're contributing. Mm-hmm. And that's the key thing that I'm looking for, is contribution.
Yeah.
And you know what? It doesn't mean that their contribution has to be perfect. That's not what I'm looking for. I do want excellence in the fulfillment of whatever it is that they're heading towards. But what's more important to me is that they are contributing somehow, mm-hmm. that they are that they are harnessing their voice and they are lending their voice to the conversation. They're not just sitting back. They're not just waiting for the game to come to them. And even that phrase that I used right there is not completely accurate. There are times that actually needs to happen. But I'm looking for initiative in people. I want people to advance and move forward. So if that's not happening, then I've got to coach that. And if that's uncoachable, then, you know, we have to maybe find another place on the bus, or maybe another bus. Or a different coach. Yeah. Yeah. And that has happened. Sometimes I'm not the best person for someone to work for.
What do you, in mentoring and in leading, what do you think makes, like, what's the sign of that? When do you know, hey, I'm not the right coach and I need to send someone somewhere else?
I think that most often happens for me when I'm not sure what to do next.
Okay.
Now, I should throw the caveat out there that I run into that fairly often, that thought, I don't know what to do next. So I need to, usually my thinking process is give it some time. So I need to give it time.
Mm-hmm.
And that may mean a night, it may mean a weekend, it may mean a week. And at the end of that time period, and I usually have a pretty good sense of what that time period is going to be. But at the end of that time period, if I still don't know, if I'm still not sure, I've probably talked to some other people. I've talked to some other leaders. I've got some feedback. Listened to some suggestions and evaluated my ability to fulfill that suggestion. At the end of that, if I'm still not sure, then we're probably beginning to approach a moment where I need to consider having this person report to someone else or be a part of another team or just beginning to make some decisions about, okay, what needs to happen here.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it simply is a matter of me needing more learning on my own. I've reached a point of management or leadership where, okay, I've exhausted what I know or my experience on this particular realm. So I need to go learn about this. And I've got a dozen podcasts or so that I'm regularly listening to, usually a bunch of books that I'm constantly in. So getting to information is not difficult for me. And I love to learn. So if I need to bone up on a particular skill, then I'll go out and do that. And sometimes that's exactly what that person needs.
So you go out and find some type of mentoring for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. It tends to be more distance mentoring. I call it distance mentoring in that I'm not having an eyeball to eyeball conversation with someone. I'm not engaged in their life and they're not engaged in my life.
Okay.
So distance mentoring is where I will situate myself so that their teaching, their instruction, their life lessons are broadcast my direction. And I put myself in a position to be able to hear that and listen to that and make decisions about its applicability for me and my situation.
All right. I want to ask you one more question about how you lead.
Yeah.
And I know I don't want to spend forever on it, but
okay.
One more question, and that is, do you think that you surround yourself with people that outsmart your weaknesses?
Do I surround myself with people that outsmart my weaknesses?
Like on your team.
On my team. So I wouldn't call this a weakness. It's a reality.
Okay.
I would never call this a weakness. I think naturally I am an introvert.
Okay.
So I'm pretty generally in my head.
Which is really shocking because you're doing a podcast.
Yeah. Well, see, you know, introverts can be incredibly powerful in front of a crowd of people. Hmm. It's not this, it's an introvert is gaining, restoration by being alone. It doesn't mean that they can't be with people. It doesn't mean that they can't be with 10,000 people. I can go to a weekend at Gateway Church and I can be a pastor, a rotation pastor, and I can meet 300 people in a weekend and shake their hands and be incredibly connecting and touch base with them and help them find a place at Gateway. But at the end of that, at the end of that weekend, I have to go find a quiet place to get restoration. So I'm not going to go find another crowd of people to have my soul restored. Mm-hmm. So that's not a weakness. A lot of people look at introversion as a weakness. In fact, at one point, the American Psychological Society, the American Psychological Association was classifying introversion as a disease.
Wow.
And psychologists would treat introversion as a disease, and they would give medication for it and things like that. But there's been a change of perspective in recent decades, so that it's viewed not as a malady to overcome, but it's a style of personality to celebrate. Now, that means that in order to have a department that is well-rounded, I have to have people on my team that can compensate for that introversion. So it doesn't mean I can't have another introvert on the team. It doesn't mean all I hire right. is extroverts. But they can still be an introvert, but their introversion is expressed in a different way than my own.
Right.
So I think our team does a pretty good job of that. I think in terms of extroversion, introversion balance, I think we do a really good job. And I'm very, very aware of that within me. So that's usually one of the first things I'm looking for in a person that's going to work really close to me is what can you bring to the table that will help balance my tendency to be in my head. On the other side of the table, a person that's an extrovert, they're going to need an introvert to keep them focused and directed on particular tasks. So an extrovert out there may need to be looking for introverts that are unafraid to call them and say, listen, you need to pull back here for a second because we're falling behind on this particular objective and right. we need you here. We need you focused on this in this moment for these next few minutes to help us get there. And the extrovert really needs that.
That's good. I'm just thinking about how you and I work together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty much me and you.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
It is in a lot of ways.
Would you call yourself an extrovert?
In some ways, I guess I am. Or maybe a different kind of introvert, I guess. I mean, I definitely gain strength from being by myself because I get very tired. But that just could be the season of my life,
sure.
too, of being really tired.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a really good segue into when you pull away from this space.
Yeah.
And how do you live your life going home? And you know, you don't go out and find a whole other group of people.
Right.
So you go home. You go home to Jill and you go home to those gorgeous, awesome kids.
Yeah.
What does that look like for you?
Well, you know, my family is entering a new stage of life mm-hmm. and we're still trying to figure it out. I have a 20-year-old and an 18-year-old. Both of them are out of high school now.
Yeah.
And they are incredibly busy individuals. They are, they're constantly, their lives are filled with activity. They work, they have jobs outside of ministry, but they also work here at Gateway in the worship department. So trying to get everyone together can be really difficult. And honestly, as my wife and I, as Jill and I, are approaching this season of our lives, what we're trying to do is set ourselves up for a strong marriage without children.
Mm, awesome.
I think so often marriages are based around the kids, and we've been there too. You know, you and your spouse go out to dinner and all you talk about is the kids. And we've done that. We've been there before too. We started talking several years ago that we want to live our lives together as long as the Lord will have us alive. You know, we want to spend our days on the earth together. So that means we have to be sure that as we're moving into a season of life where the kids are starting to build their own lives and they don't need us so much as parents, but need us more as coaches, as confidants, that she and I are connected to each other.
That's good.
And not connected to each other through the kids.
It's really good.
So we've been pretty purposeful about that over the last few years. And, you know, it was a shift because our lives were built around the kids. Everything we did was related to what the kids were doing. And I think that's normal when a family has young kids. I think if a husband and wife do not plan well as the kids are growing up, there is this sense of loss. Well, there's always a sense of loss, but there is a sense of who are we without our children?
Yeah.
And when the final kid leaves home, the husband and wife just kind of look at each other and say, well, now who are you?
Yeah.
And Jill and I think have really been purposeful about setting ourselves up. Now we're still a few years away before the last kid is in that place.
Right.
But when that happens, I feel like I'm going to be able to look at my wife and say, it's you and me now.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm going to tear up.
See, you do cry all the time, don't you?
I do. I'm a baby.
Yeah. So, that's what a lot of my life looks like right now. Jill and I do a lot of hanging out together, two of us.
She pops in.
She does.
Right here at
the office.
It
used to be more.
Yeah.
Because she worked in this building. She works in a different building now, so it's more difficult for her to pop over. But it really is one of the highlights of my day when she pops over. And it's just for, 5-10 minutes or something like that. But it's just another point of connection. I've even been thinking this afternoon how I'm not working tonight. I don't have any responsibilities tonight, and neither does she. So we're going to be at home. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, okay, hey, why don't we go grab a bite to eat and just hang out? And, we might have the two girls that are still in school. Uh-huh. We might have them join us. Mm-hmm. And that's always fun when they do. But, I look forward to that where, hey, let's just go be.
Yeah.
And that for me is a really, when I am with her, it's one of the most restoring acts that I find is having her with me. And it's interesting. I think she just drove by. I've got a window in my office, and I think she just drove by as I said that. We can be in the same room, and she's doing her thing on the computer, and I'm doing my thing. And I just like to have her near. Mm. We don't have to constantly be in conversation. I just like to have her near. And she likes it when we're having conversations. So very often, she gets my attention, and I shut the computer lid, and, we focus on the conversation. But for me, just having her near me is an act of restoration for me.
That is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Is this going to come out around Valentine's Day? It should.
This episode will come out around the 1st of February.
Beautiful. And really, from an outsider's perspective, looking in on you and Jill, it really is healthy and beautiful and just such an example of marriage. Okay, so we know how you love your wife, and we know how you, love your kids and how you lead your people. Now, how do you love the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
What's that look like for you? You have a very real relationship with the Lord. And what keeps that connected?
Well, I've been through some, I've had some life experiences that were really raw and painful and frightening.
I guess you're probably going to use the heart failure thing again right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
No, I pick on you all the time, but it's very serious. So let's hear about it.
Well, I don't want to go into a lot of details on it, but back in 2008, I caught a virus. Mm. The virus went to my heart and infected my heart muscle. It's called myocarditis. And when the heart muscle becomes infected, it loses its ability to pump blood to the body. So there's a medical term called an ejection fraction that doctors use to measure the ability of the heart to pump. The normal ejection fraction is 60%. And when I caught myocarditis, mine had dropped to below 20%.
Man.
And that's at the stage where they start talking about inserting a pump called an LVAD, left ventricular assist device, that will help the heart continue to beat. Typically an LVAD is described as a bridge to transplant. Mm. So during that season of my life, they were considering putting a pump in me that would help my heart continue to beat long enough until I had a heart transplant. So while I was in intensive care, the Lord reached down from heaven and touched my heart, and he healed me. So never had the LVAD put in, never had a heart transplant. The one that beats in me right now is the one I was born with. And yeah, probably a really special moment that was in my life, in hearing the Lord, in reestablishing my relationship at a new level with him. Yeah. So that caused me to ask a ton of really hard questions of the Lord, really raw questions. And I spent a year in exploration of that. So I feel like where I am now is where I'm in this almost constant conversation with the Lord. I don't know that I sense a moment where I'm not with the Lord, you know, this idea of how do I know it's the Lord and how do I know it's me? I was driving into work one day about, I don't know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Here at Gateway.
Here at Gateway, yeah. And I'm driving in. In fact, I could go to this point on the road right now. I could show you exactly where this moment happened. And I'm reflecting on previous ministry experiences, mostly where, not where I've been ministering, but where I've been someone that's being ministered to. And in particular, in these large meeting spaces where people are coming down to the front and they're really receiving a touch from the Lord. And it manifests in some sort of physical representation, you know, which, you know, sometimes has seemed odd to me. But, you know, I've been open and explored some of those in the past. But anytime I go down or had gone down to engage in that, it's like everyone around me is falling to the floor and I'm like the only one standing up. And I'm thinking, what's the matter with me? And so I was just having a conversation with the Lord one day, driving into work, saying, Lord, how come I don't fall down? Like, you know, I don't want to be pushed. If anyone pushes me, I push them back. You know, it's like I'm not interested in manufactured spirituality.
Yeah.
I want a real authentic experience. And if the Lord wants to knock me down, well, there's space for the Lord to knock me down, but I've not been knocked down.
Right.
And anyone that pushed me, I wouldn't go down.
Right.
So I don't believe that every person that has gone down because of a push. Mm-hmm. I don't think they've gone down because they're weak-kneed or because they're trying to demonstrate how spiritual they are. I think people have an authentic experience with the Lord, and it causes them to have that kind of a physical experience where they fall down. And that hadn't been me, and I was kind of bothered by that. And so I'm driving to work talking to the Lord about that. And in that moment, I hear the Lord say, Rob, when you feel my authority, when you sense my presence, you don't fall down because you can stand up in my presence.
Wow.
He said, you know my presence is near. You know my authority is near because you begin to get tearful. Mm. You become emotional.
Yeah.
And I began to think back on that. And that was exactly right. I've had so many ministry experiences where I'm trying to choke back tears. And honestly, I've always been ashamed of that. I'd always been ashamed of that because, you know, guys don't cry.
Right.
You know, guys cowboy up and they push through and you just rub dirt on it and you keep going. You keep playing the game. So there was this side of me that I was almost ashamed of that the Lord really began to put his finger on and say, that side of you is not weakness. That side of you is strength.
Ooh.
And I began to embrace that so that anytime I felt tears begin to surface, anytime I felt them beginning to rise in my soul, in my emotions, I knew I wasn't having a manufactured emotional experience. I knew that the authority of heaven was standing next to me.
Wow. That's why you always tell me there's authority in tears.
Mm-hmm. There's authority for sure in my tears. There's authority in my tears. And you know, I've been with other people who they'll start to tear up as they're telling me a story or as they begin to minister to me. And they always apologize. And I say, stop it. Stop apologizing. Why are you apologizing for your authority? That's you're gaining authority right now. Your tears represent authority. So step into that authority. And as you begin to harness that authority, all kinds of amazing things begin to happen in your life. So for me, I know I am center marked when I'm beginning to sense tears, when I'm beginning to feel tears. Wow. Now, you know, there are moments where tears are just not appropriate. Mm-hmm. And so there are moments I have to choke them back. But in that moment, I know I'm still in authority. I'm still walking in that authority. I'm still bringing that authority into that moment, into that experience with that particular person. So I'm not basing decisions. I'm not basing life decisions on, is this making me cry? Is this not making me cry?
Of course.
But rather it's more of a ministry moment for me.
Right.
And how I'm going to minister to a person. I know where the Lord is saying, dive deeper. And where the Lord is saying, okay, that's far enough based on the tears.
So you and the Lord have this intimate relationship that came from, well, I mean, you've always had it, I know, mm-hmm. because I've known you for a long time, but it went deeper probably for you when you went through this trauma and you began to question.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just continued to grow deeper and deeper because you're no longer afraid to ask the hard questions.
No, I'm not. And the reason I'm not is because I know the answer is always going to bring me back to Jesus.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what question I ask. Mm. I know the answer is going to bring me back to Jesus. Mm. I'm not going to end up with an answer that's something other than Jesus. That's education or politics. I'm never going to end up there. Those things may be tools, but I'm never going to end up there as the solution. I find Jesus as the most rational response to the problems of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most rational response. Other solutions, I find them to be lacking and irrational. So when I come across a problem and I don't know the answer to it, I'm not afraid to give that question to the Lord. I'm not afraid to ask that question.
Right.
I'm not afraid to explore that question because I have every confidence that at the end of that journey, I will end up at the feet of Jesus and I will end up with a trail of basically what I call the spirit of wisdom and revelation that Ephesians talks about. I will end up with a trail of wisdom and revelation that has led me to that place. And it has equipped me to have those kinds of hard conversations with people. And I'm not afraid to be in the midst of a hard conversation with someone and realize, you know what, I don't have the answer for that.
Hmm.
But I'm willing to explore that question with you.
Yeah.
They just need to understand that I'm going to end up at the foot of Jesus. You need to understand that there's just no doubt in my mind. I'm going to end up at the foot of Jesus because I believe all rationality ends at the foot of the cross.
It does. And you know, that scripture in Corinthians that talks about love, it says love always trusts.
Yeah.
And when we talk about how you love the Lord, love always trusts.
Yeah.
And you know that his answers will always lead you back.
That's
to him.
Right.
It's beautiful. Right. It's beautiful. I love all your answers. It's incredible.
Thank you.
Well, I'm going to let you wrap it up because this is your show and I'm just the co-host. So there you go.
Hey, this has been fun today. Thanks for the interview.
Fun. Yeah, absolutely.
I sure do appreciate it. All right. We've reached the end of Mentoring Deep episode 005. It's been a real joy having you with us. And, you know, I'm having a great time doing Mentoring Deep. I hope you're having a great time listening to it. You could really contribute to Mentoring Deep by going to iTunes and leaving us a comment, because we would love to hear how Mentoring Deep is impacting your life. You can also go to mentoringdeep.com and listen to the show there as well if you haven't done so. You can also visit us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and download Mentoring Deep straight to your mobile device. I want to remind you, this is perhaps not a reminder, and perhaps it's new information, but we do have the XO Marriage Conference coming to Gateway Church the weekend of February 14th and 15th, 2016. So if that is open on your calendar, we sure would love to have you join us at the XO Conference, the Marriage Conference here at Gateway Church. All right, that's it for today. Be sure to find a mentor, be a mentor, and grow deep. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.